God, thank you. As Jim was mentioning, that the thing that makes your love so different is that it really is about the other person. And we're so thankful, God, that you thought of us and you loved us enough to bring us back into your circle of love. And that love changes us, God. That love transforms us. And that's the one thing that we've got, that when we love people because we've been loved by you, that really has the opportunity to change them. And so I pray, God, as we've been loved by you, deeply loved, we can give that love to others because it's something we genuinely have. So thank you so much for gifting us with that love. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, students, we've got our lesson for the day. And do you guys remember what we're talking about this month? Do you remember what story we're on? Story of Isaac, right? So Miss Carol really wants you to take your Bibles with you. So if you've got your busy bags, take those with you so you can have your Jesus Storybook Bible. That would be great. And so if you take that with you, that'll be awesome. You can just take the bag, Terry. That's all good. There you go. Okay. So as they're getting settled into getting ready for class, let's have the big kids get our Bibles out. And we're going to turn to, if you probably just cut your Bible right in half, you'll be in the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 120. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there's a Bible in the pew there in front of you. And if you go to page 516, that'll get you to Psalm 120. We're going to start a new series for the summer that's called Further Up, Further In. And it's really based on a line from the closing novel of C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. Anybody read this? Chronicles of Narnia, wonderful series for kids, but for big kids too. I mean, there's just so many rich themes. There's a line in the second to the last chapter that we'll use here at the end of our time together. Further up, further in. And what we're going to be doing is looking at Psalms 120 through 134. This is a grouping of psalms that were sung in a very intentional way in the history of Israel as they were going to the temple, and we'll talk about that shortly. A few of the things that whenever I start a series, I'm always wondering, why do we preach this? What would be missing if we didn't have this in our Bible? Why should we go here? Why should we talk about this? What difference would this maybe make? And there's a handful of things that are kind of under or driving this series, and some of it really has to do with you. Some of it has to do with some of the things I've heard and you've said to me, not like I was interviewing you, but quite frankly, when I'm with you, I'm always spying out. What do we need to hear as God's people? What am I hearing from our church family? And I've been very challenged by some of the things that I'm hearing from you. One of the things that really struck me was one of you said a while back, this is several months ago, but you were talking about, I'm not going to mention names, right? Because I want you to keep giving me these nuggets, right? Somebody said, you know, I was reading the Bible again back through, and there was just a note in there that I hadn't noticed. It wasn't in there the last time I read it. And I thought, well, what do you mean it wasn't in there? It was in there. But what they meant was I didn't notice it. There was a grain that was in there this next time that I read it, that I just, whether it was my life experience, it was a hurt that I'd gone through or a blessing I'd experienced, they said, that wasn't in there the last time I read it. And we both knew very good and well that it was in there, but we didn't have ears to hear it. And I thought, wow, that's a wonderful commentary on this life that we have in following Christ. That we dare not think that we read cover to cover and we go, well, I've got that one figured out. I've heard it all. What's next? The wonder about this book, if we have the courage to open it and read it, and then reread it, and then reread it, there's this incredible image that comes to our mind when we enter this life of following Jesus. Not of a short 100-meter dash, but of a lifelong run, of a lifelong, slow burn following Jesus. One of my favorite authors, reflecting on Psalms 120 through 134 is he calls these psalms a long obedience in the same direction. Psalms 120 through 134 are a long obedience in the same direction. These are pilgrim songs. What's a pilgrim? A pilgrim is somebody who's on a long journey. You know, in our history as a country, a pilgrim, when that image comes to our mind, it's crossing the big pond, the Atlantic, looking for a better life and having this long pilgrimage to find a little patch of ground to seek out a better life. But it wasn't just a, well, I should get there in a couple weeks or 3 months. This was going to cost you maybe your life, probably your life, and it was going to maybe take your lifetime to get to where you really wanted to go and stay. It was a lifelong pilgrimage, in Eugene Peterson's words. This is a long obedience, singing these songs, because that's what psalms are. They're written songs, written prayers for God's people to read and worship. It's like a big hymn book, a hymnal book for us to understand the songs that our ancestors in the faith, Jesus' very own people, would sing. And so we're reading ancient, deep songs from the likes of people that have gone before us in this long obedience in the same direction. So what we're going to do for the next, really for the summer, is we're going to take one of these pilgrim songs and try, use them as a way to help us. How does this facilitate? How does this help us not have a quick fix? How does this help us take one more step in this very long, lifelong walk of a long obedience in the same direction? How do these songs help us do that? This is a long road that we're on, and we need encouragement. We need words to articulate all the different kinds that we experience a lot in a lifetime, don't we? It's up and it's down, and sometimes it's up and down at the same time, and we've got a lot of life in front of us, Lord willing. And even if we don't, we've got a lot of life behind us, and we've experienced a lot. This is a long walk that we're on. Does anybody have any trips planned this summer? Any planned vacations, planned outings? Have any of you been on any trips? Any neat excursions you've gone on? And one of the things I'd ask us to really think about as we're reading these psalms, this little booklet of 14, 15 songs, is these songs were sung on the annual pilgrimage by God's people as they were going to Jerusalem, the center of their worship, the highest geographic point where the temple was. That's where you go to be with God and to remember God. Three times a year, once in the early spring at Passover, they would go up to Jerusalem. It wasn't down or east or west, it was up, because Jerusalem was up. You'd go up. That's why these are called, if you notice the little subscript, the songs of ascent. These are as you're going up the mountain to meet with God and to sacrifice to God and to remember God's law and just to thank God for doing what he's done to rescue us from the rule of Egypt. They would go up and sing these songs as they were going up, ascending, going further up to be with God. These are the songs they're singing. Can you imagine if rather than us just all planning different trips every year to do our own little thing, can you imagine if, for me, just for a moment, if as Christians we were a part of this, let's just take our state, Oregon. You imagine if all the Christians in Oregon already had pre-planned vacations three times out of the year. In April, well, Easter's all over the map, but in April we had a trip where all the Christians in Oregon, from the farthest corners of Oregon, we would all converge at one of the highest points in our state, maybe somewhere in central Oregon, one of the beautiful mountains in the Cascades, and we would all get in our cars on the same week or weekend, and we would all drive to the same place, and we would all be rising to the highest point in the state to go be together and to worship the Lord. And we'd go to this beautiful sanctuary and we'd look out at the beautiful mountains and we'd all come together to bring money and gifts and just praise together as God's people. We would do that in the spring just to say, thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you for giving us Jesus. We owe you everything, God. There's nothing you can't ask for. We did that in the spring. And that was just something we all did. Can you imagine 50 days later, we all had in our planners, well, I got to go back up the mountain again. I got to get in the car and get the family together. And if there were people who had just come into the faith that didn't have a ride, we'd throw them in too. And as a great big family from all around the corners of the world, we would converge. And even though we were coming from the east or from the west or from the north or the south, we were all going up to be with our God and to remember our God and to show our God how much we love him because of how much he loves us. And then after the summer's kind of blown through, right, as we're entering into the fall, we do it again. 3 times a year, we all, maybe we do our own little things when we're not taking these trips, but 3 times a year on all of our calendars, there's this pre-scheduled opportunity, this pre-scheduled little mini vacation for us to go up into the Deschutes Valley, up into the Deschutes County, up into one of the most beautiful mountain ranges in our state, to converge at this beautiful worship center, to just do nothing but be together and worship and give ourselves to the Lord. Can you imagine what that would be like? That's what the Israelites did. The faithful Jews, according to Exodus 32 and 34, the Jewish families, 3 times a year would go up during the main festivals. Their calendar was marked by festivals and remembering key moments in their history as God's people, being freed from Egypt, given their first crops, celebrating God's provision in the desert as they were getting ready to move into the promised land. Three and sometimes more times a year, they would all converge from the various parts of the promised land to all go up to Jerusalem to be with their God and to be together and to remember we're God's people. We're God's people, and we have God's word, and we know about what the truth is, and our greatest gift to mankind is just to go up and to sing and to remember and to be changed by being in worship. And what these Psalms of Ascent do, as we're all converging, is they remind us that worship doesn't just happen when you get to the temple. Worship doesn't just happen when, you know, you get in the car and then you finally get there and you start worshiping. Can you imagine, as we're all making this trip up the mountain, that about an hour out, maybe hour and a half out, depending on where you're coming from, we were all given a CD. I know that might be old school. We all turned on our XM radio, or we all hit the Bluetooth button on our phone, or whatever, right? And we were all given the same track of 15 worship songs. So about an hour to an hour and a half out, all of us were given the same worship music, and we began worshiping on our way to worship. So we're all singing the same songs. Our imaginations are all being captive by the same poems, the same words. We're all being given the same words to go into some of our deepest hurts and even cry out to God, God, you still haven't fixed this situation. Will you please take care of it? We were all given the same set of songs to sing when we went up to worship. We were all worshiping on our way up to worship. Can you imagine that? That's just what God's people did. That's what these Psalms of Ascent are. They're 15 songs, 15 tracks on a little CD that all the people knew of or had in their hands or had memorized at the synagogue in their home village, their hometown, so that when they were rising up, going further up to be with God, they would actually be going further in, wouldn't they? There were things in the psalm that weren't there before. They were going further in to their walk with God. Could you imagine doing that year after year, decade after decade? How much more those words would sink into your heart? How much more depth, how much more meaning? The idea that I'm running with, and this idea of further up, further in, that we'll get to that word again, like I said, is there's maybe two ways to look at our walk with God. The longer you're in it, you kind of get to this point where, I've heard it all before, and I'm just getting to this point where, I've experienced it all before, I've heard it all before, I've read that before, and you're just kind of running out of the things that you know or the things that you've experienced. And so you kind of are moving to this point where, I'm okay, I got that, okay, I've read that, I know about that. But you're moving toward this point where, you've kind of heard it all before, you've read it all before. So you're moving kind of from greater to smaller, greater than to less than. But what I want to hold out to us over the next several months as we read these songs is maybe it's the opposite way. That the further in we go, rather than narrowing down, it might actually be opening up. In C.S. Lewis's words, the further in we go, it might get bigger. It might get richer. It might get deeper. There are things we didn't even know were there before. So rather than going in further and getting more cramped, more narrow, thinking I've got that pegged, so that's out of the way. That's one less thing I'm going to learn in my life of faith. The longer we do this, the longer we sing these songs, the longer we worship on our way up to worship, what I want to propose to you, what C.S. Lewis has thought is so compelling to me, that the further in we go, the further up we go, the further in we go, maybe rather than getting smaller, maybe it gets bigger. Maybe there's things we've never even seen there before. And so what I'd like to do is actually read these songs, because I want to get them in front of us. I want to get them in front of us so you can say, what's on this CD that we're given as we're going up to worship before we worship? What are we even going to be talking about? Because each week we're going to be taking one of them and saying, what contribution would this make to this long pilgrimage, this long obedience in the same direction? So what I'd like to do is read them, read all 14 of them. You guys going anywhere? It's not going to take long. Let's read them, because I want to give us a sense. I just want us to get a sense for what's in this songbook. What's in this songbook that our ancestors in the faith would sing, worshiping on their way to worship as they were going further up and further in to their walk with God. Notice what Psalm 120 says as it begins. Psalm 120, a psalm of ascents, going further up, further in. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. We don't really start praying until we're in distress, do we? A lot of the time. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? What more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? I'll tell you what, a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals from the broom tree. Woe to me, that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I made my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firm together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we've had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who were at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, when they would have swallowed us up alive, then, when their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. But blessed be the Lord, who's not given us as prey to their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Those who trust in the Lord, Psalm 125, a song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 126, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream, when our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they sang among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon, David's son. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Let's just pause right there for just a second. One of the things I love about the Psalms, and that we're already getting this, it's just coming through all over the place, is the Psalms give us language for all the things that we go through, all the things that we experience. They're not meant to give us language to help us out of a difficult situation. They're words to help us in the midst of one. They're words to help us actually find our feelings, find what we're feeling, find the rage or the hurt or the struggle or the joy. It's actually words that are meant to help us into the experiences we're having in a life of faith. This life of faith, this pilgrimage, this walk with God, this long obedience in the same direction is going to be filled with all kinds of experiences. And it's not all going to be joy. There's going to be gratitude. There's going to be bewilderment. There's going to be despair. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be abandonment. There's going to be rich celebration. There's just going to be this wide palette of experiences. And so what the Psalms do, as many of us know, what songs do, what music does, sometimes there's only one way to get that thing out or to really take that feeling in and really say that's how I feel right there. Sometimes we only feel that when a song comes on and it's just all of a sudden the tears just whoa. We need these words. We need these songs as pilgrims walking together in the same way, in the same direction with Jesus and toward Jesus. We need words that honestly articulate how we're feeling, not how we ought to feel. We need these kinds of words. So you probably saw the very first track on our CD, the very first song was out of distress. In my distress, I called to the Lord, deliver me from lying lips. What more shall be done to you? Oh, I'll tell you what should be done to you. Taking a bow and an arrow with a piece of charcoal on the end of it and shooting at the people that are lying about me. I mean, just this. Have you ever been lied to, or maybe even worse, lied about? And rather than going, oh, I'm a good Christian person and I'm not going to feel mad, you're broken and you're upset and you want justice. Psalm 120 gives us language for that feeling. We have Psalm 121. Where do I look? To anyone? Who else do I have but the Lord? Psalm 127, talking about a life that's, when we really get to the bottom of it, there's this sense of vanity in our life if we're not putting our hands on things that truly last, that we can pour ourselves into all kinds of work, but unless the Lord's in it, I mean, it's really not going to go anywhere, anything. So it helps us in those feelings of vanity or meaninglessness. What is my life even about? Or what should I be pouring myself into? Songs of rescue, the Lord rescuing us from those who would have otherwise swallowed us up alive, Psalm 124, by their power or their words or their influence. Whatever it may be, this songbook is sort of a small picture of what the Psalms are meant to do. The Psalms are meant to articulate all the different things that we experience in this long obedience in the same direction. We need language to articulate it so we don't just stuff it down. Let's continue and read the rest of them. Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You'll be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your life will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 129, a song of ascents. Greatly they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plow upon my back. They have made long their furrows. But the Lord is righteous. He will cut the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turn backward. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, which with the reaper does not even fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms, nor to those who pass by who say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word I hope, my soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. Psalm 131, you guys are doing great. We're hanging in there. We got just a couple more. You're doing great. Song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great, too marvelous for me, but have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. I love that one. Psalm 132, a song of ascents. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy for the sake of your servant David. Do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. And if your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Amen. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And last, Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Now, boy, there's a lot in there. You know, we just sang a whole CD in like 7 minutes or 10, 12 minutes, whatever. There's a fire hose there, right? And there's just image after image, plows being plowed upon our backs and birds being let out of cages and buildings being built in vain and just this rich palette of images that help us see and put words on and give real dignity to the feelings that we have, all the different kinds of feelings that we experience in this long pilgrimage with God, this long obedience in the same direction. And in many ways, the Psalms help us feel what we're feeling. They give us the safety to put into words how we're actually doing in this long walk with God. And really, my hope, as we kind of take these one at a time and slow things down and look at them one at a time, is say, what would be missing if this song, this worship song, wasn't in our worship set? What would we be missing as we were worshiping on our way up to worship with God? What would be missing if we didn't have a complaint psalm saying to God, take care of this. I'm tired of them lying about me, and I'm not going to just take this into my own hands. I'm going to put this in your hands, but I'm going to be honest about how I'm feeling. What would be missing if we didn't have that song? What would be missing if we didn't have a song that just gave us unfettered joy about what God's been doing in our life and in our hearts? What would be missing if we didn't have that in our hearts? The line from C.S. Lewis's book, The Last Battle, is really the thing that's giving me the language for this title for our series as we, as God's people, converge together, go up together, come to worship together, to be together and remember our God and remember what he's done, is that in this life of faith, I want to propose to you that the further up you go, the further in you go and we go together, the bigger it gets. There's more mystery. There's more things we didn't know were there. I feel like I ran into this when I was in graduate school. Carrie and I just graduated from Bible college, and you know, you're thinking, You're not a teenager, but you're that next step of kind of arrogance where you think, well, I really thought I knew everything, and now I really think I know everything because I've got a couple pieces of paperwork behind me. And I remember my first class in graduate school being pretty quickly put in my place. I remember the first class stepping in, and I felt like I didn't know anything. I remember walking into a handful of my professor's offices and going, I didn't know you could own that many books, you know? And just walking into something where I felt like I was pretty well at the end, and there was just a few things I needed to learn before I pretty well had this pegged. And after the first day, the first week of graduate school, it was like an incredible gift was given to me. You have no idea how big this is. You have no idea how much is in this book that you're going to be reading for the rest of your life. That's the image, is the further up you go and the further in you go, we go, the bigger it's going to get. The words are this. As old Narnia, the old world, has been replaced with the new, here's what the words are. It says, I was with the unicorn who summed up what everyone was feeling. He stamped his right forehoof on the ground and neighed, and then he cried, I have come home at last. This is the land I have been looking for all of my life. I belong here, though I never knew it until now. The reason why we loved the old Narnia is that it sometimes looked a little like this. Bree-hee-hee-hee, come further up. Come further in. And that's my prayer for us, is as the old world is passing away, and it is, and it's being replaced by the kingdom of the heavens, and we're getting this taste of the new world that God's going to unleash into the one that's broken and hurting right now, the one that he's right now unleashing in little bits and pieces. And for those of us who are in Christ, we get to experience just the joy, the hope, the inbreaking of the kingdom right now. The old Narnia, the old world, is being replaced by the new one, and we're tasting it right now. We're tasting it right now, and yet we're being held out an invitation to go further up and further in. And the longer we walk, the bigger it gets. Let's pray. God, as we put this worship hymnal, this grouping of songs before us, as we put ourselves under your word, I pray, God, you'd help us to see that we've been on and we're going on, and if we want to sign on to a walk with you, that it's going to be a walk that'll last as long as our life, and even longer. It's a long obedience in the same direction, and I pray you'd help us see that the further in we go, the bigger it gets, that around every bend there might be a surprise. And as we're walking and going further up and further in, I pray these songs, you'd help these songs to settle deep into our hearts so that we have the words, the vocabulary to express at least some of what we're experiencing in this long life of faith. We love you so much, Lord, and thank you for the heritage you've given to us, and that we're a part of a people that have been walking with you for a very long time. We love you so much, Lord. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's have our worship team come on up and prepare to close us down and kick us out the door and get cookies and enjoy some time together. And as they're doing that, I just want to remind you, please take a moment, fill out your connection card. Let us know you're here. Let us know how we can be praying for you. That would be great. So let's stand. Let's get ready to sing. What happened?
Leaning on everlasting arms.
Well, I'm
leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms.
Well, I'm
leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Well, I'm
secure from all alarms.
Well, I'm
leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
My prayer for us this week, as we go out, not to sprint, but to walk slowly and to walk intentionally and wisely as best we can, is that this is a life of long obedience in the same direction. And as we walk together in this long obedience in the same direction, my prayer is that the further in you go, the further up and the further in you go, that the bigger it would get, that we'd walk with him together and we'd experience wonderful new blessings, and we would be reading these songs as we're worshiping on our way to worship. Let's have a great week together. God bless.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.